Amen? Amen. Boy, I tell you, it's always good to get prepared by the worship. And let's give James and the worship group another big hand. Ladies and gentlemen, if you notice on your bulletin, we're celebrating our 18th anniversary month this month. And this Sunday is our 18th anniversary celebration. It's an amazing thing to look back over the last 18 years and see what God has done and what God is planning on doing. It is an amazing thing. Today is going to be a different type of preaching service. And that is, we're going to take chapter 3 of the book of Matthew and a little bit of 4, and we're going to go over why we are who we are. Why we've done what we've done the last 18 years, and then we're going to talk about why we're going to do what we're going to do the next 10 years. So what we're going to look like and what we're going to be when this church is 28 years old, if God tarries and doesn't come back to get us all. Amen? It has been an exciting journey at times. And it has been a tremendous amount of work at times. And I cannot wait to get out of this month. Amen. In 18 years of people looking and thinking and saying and believing different things about me and about Antioch Bible Church, I haven't had more concentrated time than I've had this month of things that could possibly go wrong in the ministry. Amen. So I'm glad that we only got a couple more days of October so we can move out of this and keep on with God's work. So I want to pray with you, and then we're going to start in chapter 3, touch on chapter 4 a little bit, and then we're going to walk through why Antioch is Antioch, why we do what we do, and why we're going to continue to do what we believe God has called us to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Father, it is good. Your word is good. There is nothing better than your word except you. And Father, we thank you for controlling me. I thank you for controlling me by your spirit. That you can move me out of the way. That you can say and do whatever to whomever. And Father, I pray that you will teach me that others may be taught. And may we never be the same when we leave, because we have heard from you. In Jesus' most holy, precious, glorious name, we all say, praise God. I want you to pull your bulletins out. And on 3, I want you to tell me the title of today's sermon. Amen. On 3 now, I want you to tell me the title. 1, 2, 3. Camel hair business suit. You know, that's a bad boy. Amen. I remember growing up and, mohair used to be the big thing in my neighborhood. I don't know if that was on the other side of the tracks, but mohair suits and shark skin, they used to call it. Ooh, brother could shine for 3 or 4 blocks coming down the road. But have you ever heard of a camel hair business suit? Chapter 3 is the beginning of a guy like John the Baptist that we're going to be talking about. We're going to really hit on it next Sunday and deal with him specifically as the one called to start a whole new work, to start a whole new business, to start a whole new way that God wants to do things. John the Baptist was probably not very orthodox in his ways. Any of you that know John the Baptist, anything about John the Baptist, you're going to see how unorthodox he was, because God had called him to do a new thing. And I believe after 30 some years of studying the word of God, that God has called Antioch to be a type of John the Baptist. To just be flat out unorthodox about things when it comes to tradition, when it comes to denominationalism, when it comes to the fact of being churchy. I believe the Bible called us not to be assimilators, but to be integrators of all people of all types. You see, back in the Old Testament, when you look at what God was doing, God said that you're going to have to assimilate in order to be accepted by him. Now, do you guys know the difference between assimilation and integration? If you don't, I'm going to explain it to you as best I can. Amen? So even if you say yes, that's not going to stop me from explaining it. Now, let me show you what happened in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, if you was going to be pleasing to God, you had to assimilate. You had to become like the majority. You had to start acting Jewish. You had to be baptized into the Jewish faith if you weren't born Jewish. You had to take on the Jewish rituals. You had to like Jewish music. You had to do everything according to the standard that God set for his chosen people. So in the Old Testament, everyone had to come around because God, at the Tower of Babel, separated all people with different languages. You know that. He separated people. That was all one people was God's original plan. Regardless how they look, regardless of the color, regardless of anything else, God had brought all people to be one. And he assimilated all those people, and you had to take on a certain ritual, a certain way, a certain act, a certain like, a certain dislike. You had to all take it, regardless of how you was raised. That was the Old Testament model. At Pentecost, God reversed that with a better way. He separated everyone at the Tower of Babel, and then at Pentecost, what did he do? He called all people together, and they heard the gospel in their own dialect, meaning the avenues of assimilation was over. You did not have to become Jewish or act on Jewish ways. You didn't have to come and be baptized into the Jewish faith. You did not have to take on the rituals and the laws and the ways of the Jewish people. As a matter of fact, when God says, I have overcome all those ways, now I want all people to come and integrate and be yourselves with my word. Now, that's the difference between assimilation and integration. Most churches today, even if they're different colors, assimilate. So if you are white, and you go to an all-black church, in order to be accepted, you got to start acting black. You got to like black music. You got to get a movement about you. See what I'm saying? You have to assimilate. So you had to act, be what they were, the major. If you was black and went to all-white church, you had to assimilate. You had to take on white customs. You had to like white music. You had to be white in order to be accepted. You had to leave your moves at the door. If he was Chinese and going to all white church, or white going to a Chinese church, or black going to a Korean church, whatever it was, you was assimilated into what they say was right. What we want to do is what we believe the New Testament says, and that is to integrate all the differences into a one worship so that we can all see what God is all about. Because I know it's hard to believe, but God made me just like he made you. And when he made me, he didn't make me by mistake and say, oops, he's supposed to have been white. He made me black. He didn't say, oops, you're supposed to be not Chinese. He didn't say, oops, you're not supposed to be Caucasian. Oops. Now, because he has made us, that meant every aspect of him is in everyone he's made. And if you're going to get a full picture of God, we got to come in being ourselves, knowing the likes that we liked and dislikes we liked, and the molding the whole service and the church for all people. And you may not hear what you like for several weeks. And then when you do hear what you like, you can be guaranteed someone else don't like it. But the issue is thinking of others as being more important than yourself. And that starts in Matthew 3. Matthew 1 and 2 lays out the whole foundation of Jesus Christ. Matthew 3 lays out the whole foundation of a new calling and a new way. Chapter 4 of the book of Matthew shows the example of the new calling. Chapter 3 says that John the Baptist steps out of history from nowhere, it seems like. And we're going to break that down all next week about him. It's been 400 years almost, folks, from Malachi, the last Old Testament prophet, to the book of Matthew. Did you know that? God had went silent for 400 years. And when he came back out of his silence, he chose an unorthodox way of showing everyone you've been doing it wrong. Isn't that just hot? Well, y'all are looking at me like I'm strange, so I better read some so you know I'm not just making this up, all right? Verse 1, chapter 3 of the book of Matthew. We're going to hit this real quickly, and we're going to walk through a PowerPoint presentation so you can see why we do what we do. Verse 1, chapter 3 of the book of Matthew. In the day, those days, came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. You would think if God wanted to change how he wants to do things, they would go right to the center of the religious world. What did he do? He started an obscure place out in the wilderness to let people know that there's something else going on. And John the Baptist baptized. That's why they called him John the Baptist. The only problem is that all the Jewish religious people there are upset because baptism was always a part of religion in the Old Testament. Is you was baptized into the Jewish faith. Now, here comes John the Baptist, a son of a priest, and he's baptizing people, but he's not baptizing them into the Jewish faith. He's baptizing them away from it. Now, if that is the case, do you think that he's going to draw some attention to himself? A Jewish son of a Jewish priest's son is out baptizing but not making people Jewish. Now, that is God's way of getting everybody's attention when he wants to do something. John the Baptist, go boy! Now, we're going to break. I get excited because I know what I'm going to preach next week. And y'all got to wait. Watch this. And he was saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want you to understand, this is not a repent to the non-believing world. As he's screaming, repent, he is calling on the religious people of the day who's been doing it wrong, the Jewish leaders and the Jewish custom that God has ordained to be the leader to the world to let them know that there is a real God in the world. He's telling them to repent. And when we talk about repent today at Antioch, we're not talking about an unbelieving world. We're talking about the bride of Christ who has not done it right, how God has called, and we as churches need to repent to get out of our traditions. We need to repent and get out of our denominationalism. We need to repent and get out of doing it our way and making God's bride look the way we want it to instead of it being the way God has for it to be. Now, this repent is very important. We're going to break that down. I'm trying to stay calm, but it's hard to do it, isn't it? Especially when I'm hearing response from the back. Preach it, brother, I heard. A response to a pastor when he's not used to getting it is like an old piece of meat in a junkyard to the junkyard dog. For this is that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That is a calling to John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus. Now, we are a church for all people, so we just can't say the last Old Testament book was Malachi. For all of our people in the church that has an Italian background, I want to break down Malachi. Everyone else want to call it Malachi, but I know you Italians, you want it to be called Malachi. Since God made that promise, he said, I'm going to bring a forerunner. He promised it 400 years before Christ. And that forerunner, we're going to look at the book of John, and we're going to look at Matthew here, and we're going to look at Malachi, and we're going to look at other verses in the Bible to show the calling that God had and what kind of person he called to wake up. He called the last Old Testament prophet. He called the first cousin, basically, to the Messiah, and he called the only prophet that saw the promise fulfilled. Now, you and I ought to know that man. Look at this. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair. Can I get a witness on that? You got to be a bad boy to walk around a hot desert in a camel hair, mohair business suit. We're going to break that down. My boy wearing a camel hair coat. He had a leather belt made from Gucci. He was styling. About his waist and his food was locust and wild honey. Tell me, if you want to get someone's attention, just walk into a business meeting eating wild locust and honey and then offer it to somebody. Not too many people on the east side invite him over to cook a meal. Amen. We're going to talk about what is that locust and wild honey. Is that true? What the whole aspect is. We're going to break that down. This is going to be good. Then he went out. Then went out to him all of Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the regions round about the Jordan. And he was baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? We talked about that for 3 years, talking about Revelation, and the purpose of God's church was to warn a world that he was coming back, but he wasn't coming back as suffering Savior ever again. He's coming back as King and a conquering judge when he comes back. That is the purpose of God's church. It is stated, it is slated, it is molded, and it is seen as John the Baptist calls on the new world to think about the new way God wants to do things. That's chapter 3. Chapter 4 then introduced Jesus Christ doing what John the Baptist said, I'm the forerunner of he that's going to come to change a whole new way. Chapter 3 says that God is saying you got to do your thinking all over again. You got to revamp what you have been trained and what you've heard for 400 years. You got to change your way. Chapter 4 takes Jesus as he starts living a whole new way. And because many did not want to change what they have been taught for years, they missed Jesus. They rejected him. Chapter 3 says, I may use all kinds of unorthodox ways to get my new way out because I need to move away from the old way because you have a tendency to always flow back to the old way when things get rough. Chapter 4 shows Jesus Christ stretching the disciples who is going to start the church, who is going to be the kickoff for a whole new way. And then you can see how much they got afraid because they weren't liked by the masses. And as we look at chapter 3 and 4, now we can talk a little bit more about why Antioch does what Antioch does. Why we're planning the last 18 years to do what we've done and why we're planning to do the next 10 years. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. Doug, are we ready, bro? Antioch's vision. Chapter 3, beginning with chapter 4 of the book of Matthew. If Jesus Christ, now listen to this, this is a biblical if. Biblical if means since. If Jesus Christ is our perfect example, is he not?
Yes.
Then if we're going to do ministry the way Jesus Christ did it, we should have the pattern that Jesus did and then follow. Yes. Amen. Now, it may not be my way. It may not be wisdom to do it that way. Sometimes I see God doing some stuff. And I just think, God, if it was me, I wouldn't do it that way. And that's why God said, I didn't ask you. Can I get a witness? Yeah. This is God to be a biblical New Testament church. We have had so much covering over God's church. We don't know what a New Testament church is. We've been taught a bill of goods. And you know, you guys, of all the 18 years, Antioch made one mistake, I believe. And that is, let me be senior pastor. And the only way I could be senior pastor anywhere the way I was to start something. Amen. Because I was too far out of the box. And I just saw what Scripture says. But I'm going to tell you something. If you have thought you made a mistake and you have submitted to this leadership with me in it, then you can do one of three things. You can pray the one thing, but you can pray one of three things. You can pray for God to change me. But you got to pray he changed me through his word, because that's the only thing I know. You can pray that God will remove me, send me somewhere else. Or you can pray that God kills me. That's your prerogative to pray if you think I'm wrong. You might as well pray that because I pray that for you. Some of you going, none but leave us. Just look at it. To be a biblically New Testament church. Now, using these are fine, but when you ever see something like that, duck, all right? Praise God that got the sniper. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God that got the sniper. One thing about professionals, and that is they can be just as wrong as someone that's an amateur, because no one picked the profile. But I hadn't heard no black leaders jump up and defend him the way most black leaders would stand up and defend black people regardless of their right or wrong. I can't wait to see what Jesse. Do you guys think I have a problem with some black leaders? Yeah. I got a problem with white leaders too that don't want to do it right. I got a problem with any leader to call himself a leader and don't do it God's way. Woo! That slipped out. That. Antioch Vision is what? Next slide, please. What is the New Testament church? Woo! Next. Let's roll it. The New Testament church is not a
building.
And we can all say by looking around this building, amen. God can get glory with a bunch of kangaroos on the wall. You know that's what. The church is not a business. Oh, no. See, a lot of you East Side white people don't want to agree with that one. Let's be honest. You see, I got too many leaders and too many people that's got some influence who wants to make the church just like a business. And I have studied the word of God. And God would have been fired many years from being a CEO of business if he ran it the way he wanted to run it. What is happening in our society today is we have allowed business to influence the church instead of the church influencing business to do it God's way. And doing it God's way oftentimes don't make sense. It does not make sense, but it does make right. The church is not a business. The church is not a religion, and praise God to that. You know, if you get up every morning at 7 o'clock, you got a good religion. You do it religiously. Church isn't religion. The biblical New Testament church is a body of distinctive people. Now, when it says the church is a group of distinctive people, it isn't a distinctive group that meets at 8, and then another distinctive group meets at 11, and then another distinctive group meets at 3, and then another distinctive group meets at 7, and then another distinctive group meets at 2 a.m. in the morning because that's the only time they can get the building, because we don't want your children hanging out with our children because they may be influenced. God says the church is supposed to be for everybody at one time because I made everybody, and if everyone's not around, you miss part of me. God is not my optic. The church is a distinctive people who at times gather like we're doing right now. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And sometimes scatter. The same church that gather supposed to be the same church that scatters. You know, we're the church. This building isn't the church. The church walks in here. And if the church walks in here, the church also walks out of here. And the same influence that you bring in here, you're supposed to go out there with it. Why is it so many churches think that the thing that we have to do is to make sure we're doing it in the four walls? We hold the word of God inside the four walls. We live the truth of God inside the four walls. And then when we leave the four walls, we just blend. You're still the church. Chapter 3. Examples of living in chapter 4. Next, when the church gathers, talk to me. We teach. We teach the church. The main purpose of the church is to teach those that are already Christians. Not to try to have services that's going to bring the non-believer in and give an evangelistic message every week. When we gather, we are to teach. We are to worship together. We are to encourage one another in that learning and that teaching. We are to love. We are to love one another exactly the way you are and love you too much to let you stay the way that you are. You see, so many churches want to love you just where you are. I love you just the way you are. I love you. God has never said love someone that stays the way they are.
You love them where they are, and you love them too much to let them stay where they are. Learn to love one another. You know what the Bible says? What good is it to love someone that's easy to love? Let me ask, if any wives in here, could you please raise your hand? If you're a wife in here, could you please raise your hand? Let me ask you a question. Is the pastor free to ask you a question?
Yeah.
He's going to take freedom even if you don't want to. And I want you to be honest with me, you wives that raised your hand and those that didn't. Your husband is watching. Is your husband always easy to love?
No.
I rest my case, Jack. I wouldn't ask a man that. Just out of self-preservation, he'll lie all over the place. She's just great. She's awesome. We are to fellowship and sistership when we come together. And then that's where we learn. That's when we gather. But when we scatter, the same church does this. We're still being the church. We're still being the church when we gather. When the church scatters, we are to what? Evangelize. We are to be the salt and the light of the world. Do you understand being the salt inside with salt? What does that do? Have you ever noticed the salt inside a salt shaker don't do much?
Amen.
Except irritate other salt. Am I wrong? Salt isn't good until it what? Get out of the salt shaker. When we come and we learn together, you're no good at salt until you scatter. And we are the light, salt and light of the world. And let me see if I can bring this to reality to you. You take a 1-inch thick porterhouse steak. Now, for you vegetarians, I don't have an example, all right? All right? But you take a 1-inch porterhouse. I'm talking about that little New York rib, little side of that bone, tender one. Y'all know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? You sit it in the sun. What's going to happen with that steak sitting in the sun? Now, on the east side, we say it deteriorates to the point where it is not edible. On the other side of the track, the stuff going to rot and stink. You know what I'm saying? This is a church for all people. Amen. We can get into it. Now, if you take that steak and stick it out in the sun without any preservative, it rots fast. But if you take it and salt it down, it can hang for a while. But if, after a while, though, it still what? It still rots. It still goes bad. It just slows, the preservative just slows the rotting process down. But if you add salt to it a little bit, wrap it up, and then put it in the refrigerator, it'll still go bad, but it takes what? Longer for it to go bad. And it keeps it good long enough to be useful and you can eat it without getting sick. Can I hear you? There's a world outside these four walls that is going bad. It stinks and it is rotting. When we leave these four walls, we are to salt of the earth. We are to spread through that rotting process out there in the world and to slow it down. We ought to add a little refrigeration to the heat that's going on in the world for making bad decisions to slow the process down. Why? So to keep that person right long enough for God so God can consume them, that can make them useful for Him. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
That is the purpose of the church, is to scatter. And not sit around in our four walls and feel good about what we're not doing. You got to scatter. And I'm going to tell you, just too much going on and too many churches that don't understand this whole concept. Next. Excuse me. We prepare the kingdom. Ooh, that's quick, bro. We prepare for the kingdom. We talked about that for 3 years with Revelation. We warn an unsuspecting world that God's coming back. And we scatter while what? Next slide. While we're still being the church. We scatter, we gather, we scatter, we gather, we gather, we scatter. That is the purpose of the church. See, I can do that because it ain't on video. Can't show that to a Baptist church. They'll throw you out moving like that. Next slide. The same people who gather are the same people who
scatter.
Next slide. Check this out. This is a biblical church. Next slide, bro. They are the church. Now spell it with me. Spell it with me.
C-H-U-R-C-H.
Boy, I know. I know I had a smart congregation. I'm moved by your intelligence. Now, we spell church C-H-U-R-C-H. We did not spell the church C-H-C-H. At best, you got she-she. You don't have the church if you don't have C-H-U-R-C-H. If you have C-H-C-H, you just have she-she. My four-year-old can she-she. Without any leadership, without anything. You know, ask Dad, you better take me out of here. I got a she-she. But the church is not the church until you are in it. Do you understand that? Then we got the church, and that's what we are. When we scatter, you put the UR in there. When we gather, you put the UR in there. But we are all the church, whether we are gathered or scattered. Next slide, please. The people who worship are the same people who evangelize. The people who teach the Bible are the same people who love sinners. The people who pray together are the same people who rescue the drug addicts. The people who fellowship together are the same people who oppose abortion. The people who love each other are the same people who correct unjust adoption practices. The people who are gathered are the same people who scatter. Now, folks, you don't have a church if you're not doing both. And we have been trained over and over and over again that as a church, we don't have to do both. We can leave that to social groups. We can leave that to government. We can leave that to parachurch ministries who never would have had a parachurch ministries if the church itself wasn't dying and not doing what God has called the church to do. Next slide. It is what? Not either or, but it is both and. That's chapter 3. Chapter 4, the book of Matthew. You're going to see it plainly and clearly. Next. See, Antioch Bible Church vision, our purpose continues to be to equip God's people of distinctive cultures and background for the work of the ministry. Next. Our vision is to be a church that reflects internal character of Jesus Christ and the outward priorities of the kingdom of God. The first part of that vision is chapter 3. The second part of that vision is chapter 4. When Christ started his ministry, guess what he did? He went to find people that was in need. He taught and trained his disciples, and then he went out teaching the gospel, showing how the gospel changed his life. It changes how you make decisions in your home. It changes how you make decisions in your business. It changes how you make decisions towards those you don't like. It changes how everything you do. That is the word of God. You don't have your Christianity here and then leave it in the other parts of your life. I'm liking this. Y'all like this? It's pretty good, isn't it? Next, please. As we gather, we have dynamic, powerful, exegetical preaching. I wrote that myself. Don't want to write that for me, so I had to put that in there. Why don't you put that line in there, brother? No,
We have healthy worship, strong Christian education, discipleship and training, corporate prayer, striving small groups. Man, we are having a whole new process of what we're doing, and we're looking at our goals, and we're saying these things need to be improved. Some of them need to be very much improved. Others need to be perfected. Now, you guys, I'm looking forward to the striving small groups. Y'all saw Pastor Carl Schaff that was up here earlier doing announcements. Amen. Brother walked up here in a leather coat. What's a white guy doing wearing a long leather coat? We only talking about Schaff. Ooh, hush your mouth. So Carl Schaff's going to be heading this up for us right now. His nickname is Costco Doggy Dog. That's his rap name, all right? Huh, what about if we scatter? We know what we do if we gather. What we do if we scatter? As we scatter, we evangelism, missions, adoption ministry, drug and alcohol ministry, health care ministry, Christian enterprise development. This is what the church is all about. And we are so long forgotten that we're supposed to be the foundation of all society. God has not given that to anyone else but his church. And we have abdicated our responsibility by turning it over to someone else. Because, let me tell you why. It's not because we don't think we should. But we have turned it over because we think down here it costs too much. We're more concerned about the cost than what's right. And I said, never again at this church are we going to establish what God wants us to do by looking at what money came in. We look at what God has called us to do, and then we ask God to supply the money to do it. And if you don't bring it in, we don't do it. Because we're not going to spend what we don't have. Can't hear you. You uncomfortable with that? Take it up with God. I am very comfortable with that. And when God is through with this church and won't supply any more finances, guess what? I'm through with this church. I am not going to beat a dead horse if God isn't here. They told me one time, the only thing you can do with a dead horse is dismount. Can I get the next slide? Our vision is not the social gospel. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, we've had this plan from day one when it was just a steering committee, when there was no one here, this was the plan. And then all of a sudden, we start doing some of these things and people are going, well, we're getting too caught up in outside stuff. Caught up in outside stuff? How else are we going to be the salt of the earth? That's been the teaching the whole time. The just problem is, the minute we start doing it, I expect you to get involved. It's easy to write a check and then go home and spend the next 6 days feeling good about writing a check. But when you got to go out and live for the next 6 days without giving a check, that's rough. It is not the social God which substitute good works for good work, the good work, word of God, nor is it the traditional church which substitutes good feelings for the good works of God. We're not into good feelings. We're not into the social gospel. We are into being righteous before God and being obedient to what he's called us to do, regardless of the cost, regardless of the face, regardless of public relations, regardless of sensitivity, regardless of people not liking, regardless, anything that gets in the way of the word of God, the word of God, the works of God. Anything that gets in those two things that make us look bad, I don't mind looking bad in. Amen. Because I have a calling. It is a calling. And I have answered. And when I answered the call, I said, I'm going all the way. Next, please. The vision of Antioch is to be the New Testament church when we and when we. Next, please. We're going to roll here. Check this out. 10-year plan and vision. Based upon the word of God, based upon what we feel as leadership that God has called us to do. Looking at the last 18 years, where do we want to go and what we want to do and what we want to develop in the next 10 years. Establish a cross-culture, multi-ethnic church that believes the word of God is the sole authority for life, that integrates people of all cultures, ethnicities, and backgrounds into relational ministry, and that trains up Christian warriors who will impact their community and world for Jesus Christ. That's a big, long bunch of words to say. We want to have a church where no matter who you are, when you walk in, you can feel love. And when you walk out of here, you're going to influence some people and get them out of their comfort zone because you live out of yours. Can I get a witness? Man, I like that. I mean, yeah, because we read some warriors. We're going to make some what? Warriors. Next Friday. Gideon's Posse. I'm looking for a few good men. Be there or be square. And when I look for a few good men, I want you to do what? Shake the pastor up. Next. Mission statement. I want you to look at your bulletin. We changed it because people, I thought you would understand the work of the ministry. But I've been studying this for 30-some years, so the terms mean much more to me than what many people see. When they see work of the ministry, they see what's in the four walls. That's not the ministry that God has called us to. We're going to change that, and it's going to, Antioch Bible Church exists to glorify God by equipping God's people of all cultures. Then he used to say, for the work of the ministry. But we're going to change it to minister to the spiritual and physical needs of our church, community, and the world. Then you have the full call of God, and you know what the work of the ministry means instead of just Sunday school class, walking in the church here. But it means getting out of our comfort zone to show the world how it's done. And we're going to get in business and show them how God does it. And if they don't want to change it to do how God does it, we'll take your business because we're going to do it better without greed. God has given us all kinds of talents right here in the church. There's people with degrees, more degrees than Fahrenheit, sitting right here in this room. We got people, man, that got abilities, got more abilities than Van Camp's got pork and beans. Amen. That's a lot of ability. And we shouldn't plug into your giftings to do it God's way. That's something's wrong. Next, please. Number one, congregational care and relationship. This to us is the most important thing in all the world. The people that God has brought to this church is our number one priority because our priority is what first?
People
first. People first. I know this is hard to believe, but I've had to deal with some people who think the staff isn't people. Staff ought to be last. We got to have a good relationship to outside. Let me tell you something. If there's only enough money and I got to choose between taking care of people and taking care of some bills, I'm going to always take care of people. Well, what about your relationship outside? My relationship outside is they're going to always know that I am loyal to the people God has brought here. If you have a need as a people and you have given, you are going to be first priority at this church. Always will, always will. Ain't no other options. Why? Because a plan to provide follow-up, counseling, and care for our congregation. That is what God has called us to be first. And I made a mistake. I made a serious mistake on trying to get other people to see that the priority is people, not a program. Most people will give money for a program, but they won't give money for people. And Antioch is not a good place to work with people with that priority. Second, finances. A plan to ensure we have sufficient funding and our resources to accomplish the goals God has given us. I know for a fact the thing that God has called us to do, folks, we'll never be able to accomplish that through just the tithe. It's too big. We got to have a congregation of about 150,000 giving units in order to do the things that God has asked us to do and called us to do to be the salt outside these four walls. Thus, we got to be smart enough to come up with ways and businesses, Christian businesses through the church, to supply money to make sure that these ministries God has called us to do is going to be done without draining the first priority, and that's not taking care of the people. Can I get a witness on that? Third, check this out. Communication. A plan to communicate to the congregation the philosophy and direction of Antioch Bible Church. I want to ask you guys a question. What is one of the number one problems in families? Communication.
And you're together all the time. If you can be together all the time and have some hard time communicating, do you think perhaps if we're together once or twice a week, there may be some problems in communication? We're going to improve that. That's our responsibility to make sure you understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, so you're not getting stuff secondhand from other people who don't know what's going on in the first place, but will make something up because they want to feel important. Third, number four. Leadership development, a plan to address leadership development at all levels. If we're not developing leaders, let's just close the door because this got to be multiplier. You can't multiply unless you're multiplying leaders. If we're multiplying leaders, we're going to mold them to the Word of God. If you mold them to the Word of God, you're going to lead others to the Word of God. You lead others to the Word of God, you're going to mold them with the Word of God. Then we got a serious dynamo aspect happening. Five. Spiritual maturity, a plan to train and challenge our children, youth, adults to grow in the Lord. That's why it is, you know, do you want to be at a church where you can go home every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time you're in a meeting, feel good about what you're not doing? Think about that. Or do you want a common place going to challenge you to be like Christ? Goodness. Six. Let's go. We got to roll. Staffing, a plan to select and allocate staff to strategic areas of ministry. I am going to make sure that what I do is going to be according to Christ. Staffing, since day one, my philosophy has been you bring people on before you need them, so when the ministry takes off, you got the leadership in place and not have to redo it. Now, some people hate me for that because I'm draining the body. Let me ask you a question. Jesus Christ did not have a congregation. How much staff did he pick before he ever started? 12. Jesus always wanted to know if you really want to accomplish a work, you got to have the right people first. That is totally unorthodox about how other people do it. You only have one pastor for every 150 people. Tell Jesus Christ that. He picked his staff when he knew where he was going. So he can have them trained so when it takes off, he's got good leadership. And I've always had that philosophy from day one. Haven't changed, will not change, because I think this is the biblical way you do ministry. Because once you have that staff on, guess who you got to trust? God. You got to trust God. And we're going to make sure, starting this week, want to back up, bro. Starting this week on the staffing aspect, we're going to make sure that we are allocating the right people in the right places, and we're going to get the job done because God is going to hold me responsible. And when I walk before God, leadership holds me responsible, I hold the staff responsible. Elder board is over me and holds me accountable. I am accountable, and I will hold the staff accountable. They will either do the job or they will not. And it's my job to put them in the right places at the right time until they cannot do the job. Then there's a change. Next. Reconciliation of races, cultures, and ethnicities, a plan to intentionally model transformational cross-cultural multi-ethnic ministry to our community and the world. Just another long sentence of saying, when anyone walks in this church, regardless of their red, white, black, blue, polka dot, you know, I don't care what they are, when they walk in, they feel loved and disciplined if they do wrong. Eight. Ministry development, plan to develop ministry according to the strategic plan. We're meeting now as elders, and you're going to wait till we do. We're going to have informational meetings coming up in the next month or so where we're going to get together, and you can come and you can talk about any one of these ministries, and we're going to have it all together. Because I believe if leadership isn't on the same page, we cannot talk to you. Because the only thing it does is start and produce confusion. Nine. Facilities, a plan to adequately house present and future ministries. We will always make sure that we're doing what we're going to do next on the Christian community development, because we're going to need that to keep, to be able to get the facilities in order to hold on to the finances that we need to accomplish so that we can take care of our first priority, which is the congregation. Four things we're going to do, four R's we're going to do in Christian community development. Next, bruh, as we got to close. Revitalization, making sure our priorities for life are in line with what? Two.
Reconciliation, changing attitudes and relationship in our church community and in our world. This is what Christian development, when they start seeing us do things that they would never do themselves. When they start seeing us saying, we will not charge you when everyone else will. When they start seeing us saying, this is the right thing to do, even though it's unprofitable, it is the right thing to do. And then do it and see God's blessing on it. Three, reformation, having a willingness to re-examine traditional forms of ministry in light of God's word. And four, we want some relocation, moving outside our walls to see spiritual and physical transformation in our church, the community, and the world. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Right now, we have some church business to do. We have a baby dedication.